We hope you enjoy the following presentation of The Practice of Wholeness Through Astrology by Dane Rudjar. This was the opening presentation of the RITA conference in March 1985 in Palo Alto, California. This recording is 46 minutes long. This audio is brought to you by RITA, the Rudjar Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudjar. All material is copyrighted by Leila Rudjar Hill. If you'd like to learn more about RITA or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjaraudioarchives.com. And now, Dane Rudjar.
Some basic realization which I have tried during the last 50 years to give most inspiring expression as it was in my power to give. Of course, during those 50 years, both my philosophical outlook and the way I dealt with some astrological techniques in astrology of personality and many other articles and books written after 1936 have undergone some change. I would be sad if they are not, as it were. But the change deals mainly with the formulations, the words, images, and not basically with concepts, and especially not with a gradual realization of what constitutes the special meaning of human existence and what is possible for human beings born in a particular society and culture to achieve. I think you should well understand, however, that, as I say, having been born 19 years ago in Paris, France, I was born in totally different surrounding than probably any one of you here. I was born in a family completely unlike yours, in a world without radio, TV, automobile, phone, particularly phone, in a home without central heat or electricity, in relation to parents and siblings, parents especially, who had a very definite archetypal meaning and no practically personal relationship with me as a child, as parents had no personal relationship with their children, except in rather special cases. The ideals were traditional, and education was segregated. Boy never met girl until perhaps briefly during the summer in a resort or something like that, never alone. So you lived in a world where practically everything having to do with personal life here and outer life was completely different. Now, since my birth, there has been, of course, a great deal of, after my birth, changes. And I have worked all my life to break away from the conditioning and also from the result for a long time of a very serious illness at the age of 13 and 16. And so I gave up everything and came to America. And after an intense dark night of the soul in Eastern City, I emerged with a new field of consciousness, gain a new sense of reality as to the meaning of human existence in terms of a large cyclic and cosmic pattern. And that occurred largely as I reached California in 1920. There has always been a way to find someone who would help us to break away from family, past, and tradition. And in my days, the one who inspired my repudiation of so much of the Christian European ideals and beliefs was Nietzsche. Nietzsche is not so important today or well known. Many of you may already know his name. But he presented to us in a very violent and somewhat dark way a yearning for a superhuman man as a new way of life. A superhuman way, not in heaven, but here, down on the earth's plane. Now, I saw very soon, especially when I was in the United States, but even before, the fallacy of this Nietzschean vision, which of course has become rather caricatured ever since. I saw in it anyway the drive for biological, cultured power and selfhood, self-centered mind, in which that drive, Nietzschean drive, was rooted. Later on, in America, I gained a feeling of humanity as a whole, of a new era of mankind, from the Baha'i movement, which had begun last century, and which for a while intrigued me and interested me very much. And in a manner which befitted much better my mind and the possibility of my development, I learned, especially from the revelation which H.P. Blavatsky had brought to an aggressive Western Victorian age. A revelation which, if really understood, would provide an inspiring cosmic and planetary vision and a common purpose to humanity. More than this, it suggested the possibility of a way of reaching that vision, a pattern of behavior, of feeling and thinking, which would enable us to reach that superhuman state of being and consciousness toward which Nietzsche and others had been more or less reaching. Now, Blavatsky did not claim to teach anything new, but rather to condense and restate a largely forgotten occult knowledge wisdom in 19th century terms. Once I understood and began to understand at least what was the matter, what was involved, I studied daily. That's the only way you can learn. Those ideas incited in me the birth of a new mind, And eventually it became clear, especially after I was 40, that at that level my function was to reformulate in an as inspiring manner as I could, using new image and concepts, what was basic in the theosophical and, generally speaking, occult vision of reality. Such a reformulation and first rethinking and re-experiencing in 20th century terms was not only for myself, but for others who had similarly prepared themselves, a work of destiny, our work of destiny, or as the Hindu says, our dharma. Now, the basic realization which I had, and which has inspired or undertoned my whole living and teaching, is that for any human being, birth in the biological species Homo sapiens, our present humanity, gives to that human being, and I mean man or woman, I am not going to repeat man and woman, the possibility to consider his whole life from birth to death as a process of transformation. And sooner or later, more or less consciously or deliberately, not only to consider it that much, but to live it, to live a personal lifespan in that personal lifespan as much of such a process as is possible. Now, looking at it from a broad angle, broad sense, humanity as a whole, though it lives in the biosphere as a multitude of biological systems, human beings, can be transformed and radically can reach a meta-biological state of being. It can therefore change from the biological to a state which is beyond the biological. Now, animals cannot do that. An animal species is exactly what it is according to its nature. The way a principle of organization which is rigidly set makes that animal species, the member of it, act and be exactly what they are. Every animal is what it is. But the isness, the beingness of man consists in the fact that he can become always more than he is. He not only can, this is his function. Mankind is the transition between the biological system of organization and a metabiological state of being. And it is that state that we have to understand. A transition, that is the important thing, a moving on, a passage. What you are as a living body, as a biological system, is your nature, what you are born as and from. But for human being, it is possible to change that nature and in the process to become and to reach another state of being. A planetary global transformation which eventually will affect the whole of humanity. It is a transformation which, at a global level, may take millions of years to be completely achieved. Yet, what I was presented with is the idea that it can take place in two ways. A collective way, but also an individual way. It can be a collective result of a cyclic process, which we can call civilization, a series of culture, and it can take place also in a different way and a more intense and sometimes tragic way as the result of the strivings of individual persons. Now, in a collective sense, as a cyclic process, and even in an individual sense, it is also a cyclic process. That process occurs according to the rhythm of life. There is a definite rhythm, there is a definite process. But there is also, at the beginning of every process, a reality, a permanent factor, which retains through the cycle, through the span of a complete cycle, from the moment of birth to the moment of disintegration. In India, when they deal with a race, with a culture, with a particular stage of human development, they sometimes speak of the Manu of the race, or the Manu of the culture, of the cycle. It is the ideal man, man of course always in archetypal sense, for the people of that culture. Now, in that culture, there are persons who, having emerged from the mass vibration in which they were born, have already envisioned this ideal of the archetype of that particular culture, and how, and they have shown us how mankind's dharma is to achieve in a particular way which is best adapted to the character of the culture, a process of transformation, a transformation which affects all biological function, all principle of organization, which manifest through a human body, and through that transformation to reach a meta-super-biological state, which in my books and pamphlets, which I'm quite sure most of you have read or at least been somewhat acquainted with, I call the pleroma, the fullness of being. There are also a few individuals who not only have had vision of the goal, but have reached the goal. They have reached it through the conflict and tension of personhood. Through this conflict and struggle, they have neutralized their ancient karma and participate in the planetary being which, as Paul said, we live, move, and have our being. Yet when I speak of that planetary being, and I will speak of it very much more in a recent the last book that I have written, which would be not only the latest, but undoubtedly the last book, that being should not be considered a personal God. Even if a human person which tries to relate his transformation to the ideal that that God represents, has to think of him or it or whatever you want, or in terms of a supreme person. But what is important is not the ideal that you make. It is the process. It is the going toward a superhuman state of existence. And that state, for me, is as real, as concrete, powerful and radiant as anything is that is moving toward that state in what we call a physical world. Every individual can perform what amounts to be a rite of passage leading to the new level and become more than human. He or she reaches then a state of unified planetary existence or being, an integrated community of individual centers of consciousness, which in a perhaps to us mysterious way represent a combination of individuality and unanimity. The I interpenetrate, as it were, and become a transcendent, yet all-inclusive we, in which, nevertheless, a degree of identity is retained. Identity is retained because each component of the Pleroma, or what Theosophists call the White Lodge, has a particular place and function to fulfill. That place and that function is its soulhood. There is no longer he or she, and that's why I say its soulhood. Yet there is actually only one planetary soul, using the term soul in the broadest sense possible, once the whole process of human transformation is completed. We reach the unanimous consciousness, which is moved by one single purpose and the achievement of one single function in terms of the development and the cycle of that planet. Now, this is the very fundamental thing that has to be remembered. Human life is a transition. It is a moving toward. The Kabbalah says that man is in the making. Every occult religion has said that we are in the process of becoming more than man, more than we are. The difficulty, of course, that anybody will ask, say, well, fine, great, but how can we reach that state? What is that process? What can we say about this process of transformation, which is potential, not actual, but potential in every human being? How can it be actualized? And I think the first thing that we need to know and to think of is what we mean by the term process. And of course, you have seen me using that term very often, and it is an absolutely basic term in my philosophy, and it is equally as basic a term in my astrological approach. And whoever doesn't understand that astrology can be approached in terms of process, as I have tried to do it since 1936, in a very different way than it had ever been done before, that person doesn't understand what I mean by humanistic astrology, and has really no reason to call himself a humanistic astrologer, and even less certainly a transpersonal psychologist. And I will speak of the term to some extent later on. A process is a series of interrelated motion and changes which have one source and one purpose to be fulfilled. Man can perform this basic process, which the human condition constitutes, consciously, deliberately, and this is human destiny. As I said before, the animals or the plant cannot do it. But man can do it because he is free. Free not to do it. This is human freedom. In a sense, a rather tragic sense of freedom. Man is free not to see where his free choices lead. Wherever it may lead, a process has an inherent structure. We may give various interpretations to the structuring power. But some motion and activities are related to others. There is order in their sequence. What is needed for the rite of passage, the transition, and its several phases, is implicit in the beginning. It is a potentiality which has to become actualized. Now, as individual person, are usually confused by conflicting biological drives and needs. It is, and the imperatives of the cultures are fighting against those biological drives and so on. It is very often difficult to find out how to give an illuminating interpretation to what is happening in the life of the person. And of course, we want to know the meaning of what is happening, what we are experiencing, what we are feeling, thinking, and doing, because it is only through that we can be fully conscious of the process which is taking place within you, within us, through us, around us. And that is where astrology comes in. Because it seems today to present us with the basic factors in any whole situation. The whole situation, of course, is primarily our entire lifespan. But it is also any critical situation which may demand a free choice, a meaningful decision. What we are dealing is situations. And how this situation can be interpreted. Now, what we call a choice is the interpretation we give to a particular phase reached by a relationship. This interpretation is determined essentially by the combination of two factors. One of the factors is what we call subjective. We desire or fear a particular experience. We want it to happen, or we fear that it will happen again. Then there is an already formulated objective standard or ideal or pattern of behavior, and also of feeling, which has been established by our culture. And in a sense, also, in a deeper sense, by our generic nature, by the structure and the capacity of us as human bodies, as member of Homo sapiens. Now that generic nature of Homo sapiens is the foundation of our meaning, of our nature. But the meaning that is given to that foundation, Homo sapiens, varies. Every culture, every different culture gives it a different meaning. And for this reason, astrological interpretation and the use one makes of it also must change. It must change when the level of consciousness and of desire of at least a minority of person is raised. It can be raised from the level of material event related, met as unrelated, fated, and mostly meaningless happening from that level to that at which they are understood as phases of a process, all interrelated, each necessary and significant, however difficult the meeting with this heaven, with these events. A whole process through which what was potential at birth can be actualized. This is what astrology can give us a foundation for interpretation. Both the birth potentiality and the process of actualization are revealed in the relation between the newborn and its birth, visualized as a whole. The whole situation. But how to see its meaning of what the meaning of that whole as a symbol which can give us an interpretation to which the mind can give a form and reveal to the consciousness. Now, even if you deal strictly with astrology as the possibility to give us an interpretation of the inner organization of any situation that we meet as we go on living, that process of interpretation can be done in two different ways, two very basic different ways. And there are therefore, in a sense, two basic kinds of astrology. And during 40 years of writing, lecturing, personal contact, and so on, I have tried to define the new way made possible by the widespread of depth and height psychology. Freud, Jung, Maslow, Assagioli, and so on. First, to define the new possibility. And then, second, to provide new or reinterpret old techniques on which the practice of astrology could be built at this new level of interpretation. Now, new techniques are needed, and they naturally come to the mind operating in a different way. When the mind attempts to interpret an always changing situation in terms of a cyclic series of phases of a process, the result must necessarily be a different kind of interpretation based on no longer on unrelated event which just happened by chance or a result of random processes, but which happen as, which take place rather, as phases of a definite process. And the change from seeing what happens, not only outside, but within us, as phases of a process, rather than as absolutely incomprehensible, strange, random event. It just happened to me. I wonder why I was so good. What does that mean? You know, you see them as outside of you, as event that happened to you. If you can see them as phases of a process that started with your birth and at least will end with your death or maybe beyond, that change can absolutely change a life if it is made intelligently and sincerely. Now, as you know, probably, or maybe you don't, during the year, 40 years or so, 1934 to 74, I have written over 1,000 articles, or nearly 1,000 articles, in 3 to 5 astrological magazines, American, Astrology, Horoscope, World Horoscope, and all those things like that. And I had ample opportunity to devise and to explain not only my new approach to astrology, but any number of new techniques based on the structural unfoldment of entire processes. Something that could be much more than the traditional and memorizable characteristic meaning of what each factor of itself alone always means. What I mean is this, a particular aspect or planet was in the past always positive or negative, or most always positive and negative, essentially. It might be changed in relation to another person and develop certain new aspect. But essentially, it was based on a structure which always was the same. Now, what I try to do is that to show that nothing was essentially always the same. That it is the relationship, it is the process in which those different principles of organization, the planet, the houses, and all that, are involved. It is the process of the relationship which really count. And if you want to understand any entity, like a particular square, a particular planet, a particular cusp, and so on, you have to understand it as a phase of a structural process. that creates an entirely different kind of technique. And the most familiar one has been the lunation cycle, the progress lunation cycle, which, as far as I know, I was the first astrologer to ever mention or at least study, and so on. The cycle of Uranus and Neptune and Pluto, of Jupiter and Saturn, the transit of Uranus over the cusps, and all those things, you see, which in most ancient astrological book, and I mean ancient, before 1920 or something like that, you know, were given very definite, memorizable entity meaning. That is what it was. And you remember that just like a scientist remember the density of that mineral, at which temperature it boils up, and how many atoms of uranium you need to have an explosion, and things like that. So that change, you see, is very basic things. And it's the change from the concept of separate entity, which are what they are, as scientific material entities, to processes of development in which those entities are merely evolving principles which constantly change, and to find the way they change, the relationship, and so on. It is very important today. Now, I can go on like that for a long time, but what I want to stress particularly here is that astrology refers to situation, not to entities, not to planets or anything having that can memorize as a particular entity, but situations in which all those entities are involved. Each situation has to be understood not only as a whole, but as a phase of process, which is also a whole evolving in time. Now, there are relatively only a few principles of organization, and they have a somewhat metaphysical character, because they apply to anything under any condition. They would be understood, they should be understood, and they should be allowed to illumine the consciousness of the astrologer in order that he can or she can reveal the meaning of the situation. I say reveal because for me astrology is in no way, I mean the kind of astrology that I have presented, is in no way a scientific procedure. It is a revelation. It is a revelation of meaning. It reveals the meaning of a situation as a whole by presenting all the factors, all the basic factors anyway, that are involved in that situation. And what is revealed by astrology, and that is the further and most important factor, is the best way to do it, the best way to handle a situation. Every chart, every astrological situation revealed to the perspicacious astrologer the best way to handle the situation. There is nothing wrong, there is nothing inherently destructive in any astrological configuration. It just tells us what the situation is, how the basic principles in that situation are related, it revealed to us the best way to handle it. It may be through tragedy. It may be through happiness, It may be through one thing or another. But it is always potentially the best way, provided we understand, and we are able to understand what you might call the language of astrology. That is to say, all the symbols, the meaning of the symbols which are involved in that language, planet, you know what I mean. Now, you see that there is a very great difference between seeing astrology in that sense as the revelation, as a great difference from seeing it as a series of scientific data which by memorizing and putting together you can get certain kind of things, or that's the way to do it, and that's the way to do it, and not to do it, and so on. There are school of astrology who give numbers to any planetary factors, and so on, and you add all those numbers, and the column where there are more numbers tell you that is the way you should add, you should deal with the situation. That, to me, is perfectly all right, as far as the type of consciousness using those methods is concerned. If they can find satisfaction and truth for them through that, okay.
This is the end of The Practice of Wholeness Through Astrology by Dane Rudjar. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudjar Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudjar Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudjar at www.rudjarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjaraudioarchives.com.